I know that being a good dad can be an imperfect picture of the love, forgiveness, and acceptance we receive from God on account of Christ. We speak the truth in love. We discipline because we love. But you have a heavenly Father who has not acted in rage on your rebellion. A Father who, in all your failures, loved you and couldn't give up on you.
What a Father to emulate as fathers go. And that is the call to us today as fathers and mothers, as we lead our children in the ways of the Lord. You see, this isn't the Sunday school teacher's job. It's not the youth pastor's job. It's not even our pastor's job. God has given that job to you and I as mothers and fathers. Let's listen in on some more encouragement, shall we, for this fifth command? Once again, here's Pastor Chris.
It's clear that the home is designed to be a place for reading the word and prayer, and it leaves a lasting impression on the child. Proverbs 1, my son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother. For what will be the result of that? They will be a gracious ornament on your head. When a child is taught the Lord's ways and then disobeys, which happens, doesn't it? We all know that. We've all tried it. Notice the passage said tonight, when you've spoken and then when you've disciplined. God calls parents to discipline their children. Think of how much discipline's hated in our culture today. There was a responsibility to use the voice God's given you, a voice box, and to say, son or daughter, that's not right. That's God's restraining voice. Did you notice that, boys and girls, tonight? That I be patient. You may say, oh, my parents have done so many things wrong. Well, they have. For by their hand, God wills to rule you. As I said before, the great pressure in our time is to say nothing. And we're doing nothing for our children when we say nothing. Such an important point tonight. The obedience of the child, listen to this, is bound up with the expectation of the parent. You have parents who just want to be a child's friend, that'll be the relationship. You have parents who want to remove boundaries and let them do whatever they want to do, your children will live without boundaries. You have parents who neglect the duty to train and nurture their children, demanding accountability. Their whole life will show it. They'll be unruly because you've taught them that. That's the basic thing here. Many ways today, I think parents are afraid of their children. And they're more afraid of them than fearing God. Eli did that, remember? Here are his sons who are priests, drinking and sleeping with the women at the tabernacle door. And what does God say to Eli? You are honoring your sons more than me. So the commandment itself presupposes an active godly involvement of parents in the lives of their children. What a good thing that is. What a healthy thing that is. In Proverbs 13, he who spares the rod hates his son. He who loves him disciplines him promptly. Promptly has the effect of stopping the behavior. Proverbs 23, do not withhold correction from a child. If you beat him with a rod, he's not going to die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. By disciplining them, we deliver them. Now, the situation in Deuteronomy is this. The young man who knows better has been trained correctly. He's been trained really well. He's been in the covenant community. He knows the truth. He's received the truth. He's professed faith. His parents have lovingly come and said to him, son, you can't do this. You can't do this. You're a child of the covenant. You can't choose Baal. That's not your choice. God put his covenant sign on you. They had the courage to address their son or daughter. They had the courage to sit down and not make light of it. And that was the responsibility. And it wasn't just, in this case, some careless sin. All children are going to make careless sins. All young adults are going to do careless sins. We're going to make momentary sins. We're going to sometimes maybe some sins that really can wreck life. What we're looking at here is the hard, recalcitrant heart. The rebellious son. The hard son, the son that rolls his eyes and refuses to listen. It's the First John attitude. Remember the beginning of First John has three times where it says, if we say, if we say, if we say. If you study out First John, there's a progression in it. If you say you're a Christian and you live a different way, you're lying. If you say that somebody comes to you and says you're sinning, you say, I've not sinned in this case, you're lying. And then it says, if you say you've never sinned, it's a progression in a hard, growing, hardened heart that First John is dealing with. In all those cases, the Lord is saying, listen, every time you come to me, confess your sins. Don't harden your heart. I will forgive you and I'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. This son says, forget it. I don't believe any of it. Leave me alone. Don't judge me. That's the attitude. That's what we're dealing with. So if any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father and mother, and when they chastise him, when they discipline him, he will not even listen. They go to the elders. He's persisting in this case and getting drunk. He's a glutton. Notice the holy community was involved here. The son was endangering the community. The witness and status and separateness of the community. And the principle was, along with church discipline, that's why we purge out. Well, the elders had to get involved. So the elders would sit down and they just didn't grab stones. Oh, no, no, no. The point to bring in the saints, the point to bring in authority structures, the point to bring in those who love you is maybe they'll hear that voice. Maybe they'll listen to the pastor. Maybe they'll listen to the elders. And the elder comes and says, son, son, you're a son. You're a son of mine too. You can't live like that. You can't do those things. This is the kind of case, you know, where this hard heart continues to persist against all authority structures. And by the way, I think what you'll see in people's lives who reject the authority structures of parents is it breaks out everywhere. It starts in the home and it breaks out everywhere. Now, this is the particular situation in which they were in. And in the old covenant, you'll notice very clearly here, if we get to the point where all avenues of, and remember, when we can't control ourselves, God puts people in our lives to help us. And when we can't control ourselves, he puts restraints to help us. So what has to happen here? Old covenant, I want all the young adults and everyone to listen to this. If you pulled this in the old covenant, you would have been stoned to death. You would not have been able to say, I need a safe space. I'm going to go out and do my old thing. It was over for you. That's old covenant. You need to feel the weight of that. It's really important. That's how serious God takes this. Now, this is where we come to talking to the children for a minute. It's a great responsibility on the part of children to listen and obey their parents. Boys and girls, you hear me? It's something very important from the youngest of age to do. God commands you, did you notice the beautiful words tonight, that I show honor and love and faithfulness to my father and my mother? God put them in your life to be the greatest blessing to you, to keep you within the rails, to love you. I'll come back to the gospel in a minute. God has given you parents to nurture you and to mature you and to help you and to correct you and to train you. There will be times along the way you don't agree. But that's why you have parents. There's a maturity that comes into this. I know the temptations are great. I know the pressures are great. I know that today we have a whole generation of young adults that we're not doing real well with in the church to reach them and minister to them, and we are struggling to know how best to do that. I own that as a pastor. But you have to appreciate why God put these blessings in your lives as a son or daughter of God. You know, he chose you. You know, he chose to put his sign on you. God desires for you tonight to respect your parents, to love your parents, to honor your parents, to not talk back to your parents, to be disciplined, and to listen carefully because they know better than you. They know better than you. Now, maybe there's parents along the way who've made very sinful choices. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kind of parenting that God has put in place in your life that we fight against. And when you're frustrated or angry, what does the Lord want you to do? Just like this morning, boys and girls. Here's something so beautiful for you, boys and girls. When you're anxious, young adults, when you're anxious, what can you do? You can go to the Lord and you can cast your burden before him. And he also promises to you to give you peace that surpasses all understanding. God has chosen them to rule over you and to help you. To disobey your parents is to disobey God. That's the message. In fact, God gives you great encouragement tonight, doesn't he? You know what God does? He gives you a promise in this. When you honor your parents, you will live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. What does that mean? Well, we could look at the eternal land and talk about the promise of eternal life. I don't think that's what he's talking about as some kind of conditional on obedience to earn eternal life. That's not at all what he's talking about. This is something that's important. The choices you make to honor your parents, the Lord is saying there will be fruits from that in the course of life. When your parents pray for you to believe the gospel and to marry a believer and to pursue the right way, you have a path before you, don't you, to choose. You could say, forget it, I'm going to go do my own thing. And what's going to happen to you? I can tell you right now, you're going to suffer a lot of hardship in life. The Lord won't let his children go, but I can tell you right now, you're going to suffer a lot of hardship in life. It's not going to go well for you. Why do we always have to test that, to learn that truth? There are fruits from listening to the good instruction of your parents. As I was writing this tonight, I was thinking of something that that happened to me at Henny Wybinga's funeral. I was out in the parking lot, and I can't mention his name. I won't mention his name. But someone from this church who was raised in this church, and I asked him if I could tell the story at some point. He goes, you tell him. So I have a green light. He'd lived a rebellious life, grew up as a covenant child in this church. And he began to date somebody he shouldn't be dating. And old Henny Wybinga, I don't know how old she was at the time, walked up to him out in the parking lot years ago when he was a teenager. And she said, who are you dating? And the guy said her name. And he said, you marry him, you're going to be a mess. You're going to have all kinds of problems. And she said, he said, I'd never talked to Henny Wybinga in my life. And he said, you know what I did? I married that woman. And I'm divorced today. If only I'd have listened to Henny Wybinga. I saved myself a lot of problems. He says, I couldn't miss her funeral. Covenant community. How many of us would do that and go talk to our young adults when we see those kind of things? And that stood out to him. That saint that he went to her funeral. Well, I leave that with you because it's important, isn't it? It dawned on me as I was writing this tonight. No, I didn't write it tonight, by the way. I wrote all week. I said that. If a man has a rebellious son, I couldn't get away from this. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. The more they were called, the more they went their way. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and burning offerings to idols, and yet it was I who taught Ephraim how to walk. I took them up by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of kindness and with bands of love, and I became to them as one who eases the yoke on their jaws. And I bent down to them and fed them. They shall not return to the land of Egypt, but Assyria shall be their king, because they've refused to return to me. The sword shall rage against their cities, consume the bars of their gates, devour them because of their counsels. My people are bent on turning away from me. And though they call out to the Most High, he shall not raise them up at all. Oh, but how could I give them up? Oh, Ephraim, how can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboiim? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my burning anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim. For I am God and not a man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath, Hosea, to a rebellious son. Did God give up on his rebellious son? Oh, he disciplined him. Who was the rebellious son? All of us. What did God do? I'll send my son instead, whom I love and who's perfect, and I'll bring him back. Who wins rebellious sons and daughters? I read this statement by an author named Scott Keith. Too often, as a father, I've demanded compliance when I ought to have shown mercy and compassion. Too often I've been the mother with a deeper voice and bigger biceps. Too often I've been suspicious when I should have trusted. Too often I have praised the use of the law in my house over against the need for the gospel. I am a dad and a sinner. While I strive to be a model of grace to my children and my wife, for that matter, I am far too often the very opposite. I know that being a good dad can be an imperfect picture of the love, forgiveness, and acceptance we receive from God on account of Christ. We speak the truth in love. We discipline because we love. Don't read that as saying we don't do those things. But you have a heavenly Father who has not acted in rage on your rebellion. A Father who in all your failures loved you and couldn't give up on you. Who cares about you. He even says that when he disciplines you, he's not angry at you, but treats you as a loving father does to his sons and daughters. J. Alexander, years ago in his book Family Worship, said something that just startled me. I no longer marvel. Christianity becomes a dying empty thing in the houses of those professors where there's no joint worship of God in the home. family prayer invited, and it bespeaks the blessing of God on all concerned, but chiefly on him who leads it. Better a roofless than a prayerless house. Then he goes on to say this. Imagine a child who contemplates going in a wrong direction and rebelling. And before that child is the father who constantly leads the family in prayer and is on his knees for him. Alexander says, the example of family worship imprinted already upon his heart, and the prayers that have already been constantly offered to God on the child's behalf, and the love that that child has received from a caring father who's actually involved in the life and a mother, when a child wants to rebel, are like arrows going through that heart. The child says, how can I offend against my father who daily wrestles with God in my behalf? How can I be careless about the soul when he's that concerned for me? That's like the love of God. That'll win your children. That kind of treatment of him, the Father, constantly pointing us to the love in his Son, the perfect relationship, think about that, of the Son and the Father, a love that was perfect and obedient for you, is a reminder to you constantly that the Father loves you. And ultimately of the grace that we constantly need in life that he's giving to us. Let rebellious children see that when we lovingly discipline and see our care and our tears to win them. Arrows through the heart. As children and parents, I pray tonight that God would give us all the grace to honor him in honoring those whom he has placed over our lives to be a blessing to us. Speak the truth. Don't fear. God is sovereign, and God is also sovereign over the hearts of your children. And in that confidence, we can pray to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for so rich a commandment and so beautiful. You have been so tender with us as rebellious sons. And you gave us your only begotten Son. And if that doesn't restrain us and that doesn't stop us and put us on our knees in tears, what will? Surely the old authoritarian ways of yelling never really worked. But while we have to discipline and while we have to do what we have to do in speaking the truth, may we never give up on our children. And may we remember, Lord, the love that you have shown to us in Christ as we seek to nurture and train our children. And we pray for our children tonight that they, Lord, would believe what they have been taught and that all the temptations and tests and trials and all the things to pull them off the path of righteousness, that they, Lord, would be kept by your grace through the voice of their parents. And that this commandment would be honored in our lives. Forgive us where we all have failed, and be merciful to us in Christ as you have demonstrated over and over. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And with that, we conclude our look at commandment number 5, honor your father and mother. Well, after the weekend break, we will be back Monday as our Ten Commandments series continues, looking at commandment number 6.
This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Just enough time to leave you with our contact information. We'd love to hear from you. It's always a delight knowing you're being blessed by this radio program. Reach out to us at our website, agradio.org. Questions@agradio.org. If you wish to email us any questions you might have or praise reports, comments about the program, or give us a call, 888-504-8805. By the way, when you visit our website, agradio.org, tons of resource material for you to tap into, as well as links to our other platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Again, all at agradio.org. And that phone number, once again, is 888-504-8805. Looking to write to us? If you're old school, the address for your envelope is Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264.
You shall not murder. Simple words, but packed with meaning, as we'll see Monday. Join us then for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.